I just wonder if Sarah was sending me a coded message and I let my words be few. I was just wonder if that was a message, Sarah. I'm not sure. But let's read the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I'm going to continue my series this morning on the Beatitudes. And then in Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 11, it says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." This is God's word for us this morning. Now, Matt is going to put some slides up, and I just want you to think, how do you respond to the following images? So, the title of my message today is "Blessed Are the Merciful." And so, how would you respond to a homeless person who is hungry and asking for help on the street? Do you always walk by thinking they only want money for drink? I've taken to actually putting something in, right? Because there are people who genuinely need it. How do you respond to the homeless person? How do you respond to the drug addict who is, as they say, shooting up? I remember being out on the street once, giving out leaflets, inviting people to come to Barry Woodward event, who ministers to drug addicts. And somebody on the street said, "I'd tell you what I would do to them. I would put them up against the wall and I would shoot them. I would shoot them all." What's your response when you see a picture of somebody who's shooting up? What about prostitutes walking the streets? What about a gay rights parade? How do you respond internally when you see a gay rights parade? What about a pro-abortion demonstrator? Do we feel judgmental towards people like that? What about illegal immigrants? Big issue in our country nowadays. And they have been compared to hordes and herds of people coming into this country. What about Britain's benefits culture? Higher wage, lower welfare Britain, is it at the expense of the poorest? What about tax cuts for the poorest? And there's 370,000 households where no one has ever worked. That's what the statistics tell us. How do you feel when you see a caption like that? And what about this one? An elderly person in a nursing home. Do you feel any sense of compassion? Do you feel a sense of mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not just withholding punishment from somebody, but it's the act of giving help and of having compassion on somebody who is afflicted. And believe me, we have a lot of afflicted people in our society today. And my question to you this morning is, how should we as Christians respond in these situations? How should I as a Christian respond? You see, God is merciful. That's the first thing we have to remember. This morning, as we worship God and as we break bread together, we are celebrating a merciful and compassionate and loving God. We are celebrating the fact that He sent Jesus to be the one that takes our sins away. When we deserved to be punished for our sins, God sent Jesus, who took all of our sins on His body on the tree, as the Bible says, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. God is a merciful God. Think of the story of King David in the Old Testament. I assume that most of you know the story of David and Bathsheba. It's found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. You know, if you have read the story, that David had sexual intercourse with Bathsheba, that he committed adultery with her, that she became pregnant, and that David had her husband Uriah killed on the battlefield. Then David went on to marry Bathsheba, but the child that was conceived because of their relationship died. David committed not only adultery, but he also committed murder. It was a time in his life when David was a bad man. Make no mistake about it. And justice would have demanded that David be dethroned and that he be executed. But God, in His mercy, and for no other reason, only because of the mercy of God, God spared the life of David. Not only did He spare his life, but He allowed him to continue ruling the kingdom. Yes, there were consequences, but David deserved to be dethroned, and he deserved, in fact, to die. However, God spared David's life, and mercy was given to him when he most certainly did not deserve it. Do you think you deserve mercy? None of us deserve mercy. Now, even though David received mercy, there were still consequences. So you need to understand that, because his son died, and he was told that throughout his life, throughout his reign, his kingdom would always be at war. But this is an example of the mercy that God shows to human beings. Now the question is, God is merciful. God shows mercy. But is it possible for a human being to show the same level of mercy? Is it really possible to expect that human beings are going to forgive those who murder their family, commit adultery with your wife or your husband, forgive your wife or your husband? Is it really possible for this to happen? You see, The demands of the Christian life are radical and revolutionary. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful," he is making a radical demand in a way, making a radical statement, because it's so counter-cultural. This is not the way our culture operates today. It's an eye for an eye. It's take revenge on somebody who hurts you. It's get your own back. If they diss me, I'm going to diss them. I'm all over Facebook with it, by the way. Okay? That's the culture today. You know, nowadays, you don't see things written on toilet walls anymore. Do you know why? Because people write it all over Facebook. Did you know that? A true disciple of Jesus is one who is countercultural. We go against the prevailing culture of our day. A true disciple of Jesus stands out, steps up to the mark, is different, is salt and is light in our community. What an incredible challenge Jesus lays before us. However, a true Christian is somebody who has experienced the mercy of God in their own lives. A true Christian is somebody who has experienced grace. And now, Jesus Christ has set up his residency in your life. And he is reproducing the life of God. He is reproducing the thoughts of God. He is reproducing the ways of God in your life. You and I, we become receptacles of the grace of God in our lives and the mercy of God. And that, my friends, is the only reason that we can be merciful. For no other reason. Because God is doing something incredible and something amazing in our lives. The Sermon on the Mount is radical stuff. It contradicts almost everything that you have learned about life. It challenges almost every natural instinct and innate tendency in your life. Because, you know, your tendency is to take revenge. My tendency is to get my own back. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount is so radical that I believe that no person can possibly live up to it unless they have indeed been born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ is supernaturally changing them, or changing you and I from the inside out. That's the only reason you can forgive. That's the only reason you can let go. That's the only reason that you and I can be merciful. And so every person who has received, the grace of God, the mercy of God into their lives, who has received the love of God, is to be the one who shows mercy, who gives mercy, and who releases forgiveness in their lives. You see, mercy has an outward manifestation. When we consider someone to be merciful, we're able to see the outward signs of mercy: kindness, gentleness, forbearance, compassion, and above all, forgiveness. Jesus said in Colossians 3:12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God." I'm speaking this morning to the elect of God. He said, "Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." Here's what Jesus said about mercy: "But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's James chapter. This is the word of God. James chapter 3, verse 17. He says, the wisdom that comes down from above. Hear it carefully. The wisdom of God is full of mercy. Wow. The wisdom that comes down from above is full of mercy. Just listen to this. As we come up to Remembrance Sunday, I'm reminded this morning of a man called Gordon Wilson, who for me stands out as a name from that troubled period in Irish history between 1970 and the mid-90s, called the Troubles. On Remembrance Sunday in 1987, Gordon Wilson and his young daughter Mary went along to the Remembrance Day parade about this time of the year in Inniskillen. And at that remembrance service, the IRA set off a bomb. And these are Gordon Wilson's own words. He says, we were thrown forward, rubble and stones and whatever, in and around and over us and under us. I was aware of a pain in my right shoulder. I shouted to Mary, was she all right? And she said, yes. She found my hand and said, is that your hand, Dad? Now remember, we were under 6 feet of rubble. I said, are you all right? And she said, yes. But she was shouting in between. 3 or 4 times I asked her, and she always said, yes, she was all right. When I asked her the 5th time, are you all right, Mary? She said, Daddy, I love you very much. Those were the last words she spoke to me. She still held my hand quite firmly, and I kept shouting at her, Mary, are you all right? But there wasn't a reply. We were there about 5 minutes. Someone came and pulled me out. I said, I'm all right, but for God's sake, my daughter is lying right beside me, and I don't think she is too well. She's dead. She didn't die there. She died later. The hospital was magnificent, truly impressive, and our friends have been great. But I miss my daughter, and we shall miss her. But I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. She was a great wee lassie. She loved her profession. She was a pet, and she's dead. She's in heaven, and we'll meet again. Don't ask me, please, for a purpose. I don't have a purpose. I don't have an answer. But I know there has to be a plan. If I didn't think that, I would commit suicide. It's part of a greater plan, and God is good, and we shall meet again. And he goes on to say, I have lost my daughter, and we shall miss her, but I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. Dirty sort of talk is not going to bring her back to life. What an amazing testimony. And then Gordon Wilson told the BBC that he forgave her killers and added, I shall pray for those people tonight and every night. And you may ask, how is it possible for a man who has lost his beloved daughter in a tragic incident like that to be able to forgive? The only reason is that Gordon Wilson was a born-again Christian, and his Christian faith enabled him to forgive and have mercy on his daughter's killers. Gordon went on to be a spokesman for reconciliation in Northern Ireland for many years. The man died, I think, in 1998. But you see, he was a merciful person. And when you see a merciful person, there's something different about them. There's something going on in the heart. The outward manifestation is a reflection of what's taking place on the inside. But you know, the wonderful thing about mercy, in the words of Jesus this morning, is that there's a payback. This is the good part. There's a payback. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It says in Psalm 112, verse 4, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Proverbs 11, verse 17 says, those who are kind benefit themselves. You may think you're benefiting others, but Proverbs says, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. George Bernard Shaw wrote a play entitled Androcles and the Lion. I don't know if you read it or studied it at school, but Androcles, you may remember, was a slave during the time of Tiberius. And he ran away from his master, and he was hiding in a cave. One day, a lion was walking by, limping, because there was a thorn in one paw. Androcles bravely went out and confronted the lion, and he stopped the lion, and he held the lion's paw, and he skillfully extracted the thorn from the lion's paw. And in the play, that's the first scene. It's the scene of him confronting this wild beast and helping the wild beast and extracting this thorn from the lion's paw. In the next scene, time has gone by, and you now see Androcles, the slave, in the circus at the Colosseum in Rome. A large crowd had gathered to see him punished for his rebelliousness. And the emperor had said, let's throw this man to the lions and have some fun. And so Androcles is thrown into the middle of the arena, and out comes the lion to devour him. But the lion remembers. And so the lion goes up to Androcles and sort of nuzzles up against him. And Androcles rubs the back of the beast. And there's a moment of connection that the audience never understood, but they began to appreciate. And they began to shout and applaud. And Androcles is set free. What an amazing story. Now, how many times have we seen this plot repeated in movies and films and novels and plays? It's the story, in a sense, of the fact that those who take the thorn from the foot of the lion will one day themselves in turn receive mercy. That's the wonderful thing about the Beatitude this morning. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you are a merciful person, and you won't wait for heaven, because heaven is already guaranteed you, but if you are a merciful person, mercy is going to come knocking at your door. At the moment that you most need it, God is going to remember. Indeed, I'm sure he remembered for Gordon Wilson. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That is an amazing passage from Isaiah chapter 58. He says, is this not the fasting that I have chosen? For you to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. To show mercy to the hungry, to the destitute, to the homeless. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I remember Paul Janney preaching on this many years ago. And what I remember from that message was that Paul said, as you give out the front door, God is going to come round and he's going to come in the back door. And he's going to pour so much blessing into your life. So as you have experienced that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Why am I saved? I'm saved to give away. I'm saved to pour out. I'm saved to be a blessing. I'm saved to give mercy to other people. That, my friends, has always been the heart of this church. Whatever people may say about us, and some people say bad things about us, but I want you to know this morning that going right back to the very beginning, our church has been called to be there for our community. But above all, to be there for those who are needy and those who are hungry and destitute. And not to turn anybody who comes to us away from our door. I ask you to help us as leaders in our church to be that kind of a church. Because if we are that kind of a church, we don't need to worry about anything else. Because as we are giving out the front door, God's going to come round the back door. And he's going to pour so much blessing upon you and upon your lives and upon this church. So when you see those images, when you see the image of a homeless person, a drug addict, a prostitute walking the streets, how do we respond? I pray that we will respond out of grace, with a heart of mercy, because God has been merciful to us. I want to encourage you this morning that if anybody has hurt you, don't hold on to a grudge against them. This morning, right now, right here, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be merciful. Because blessed are the merciful, because as you forgive, you too will receive mercy. I'm going to ask Sarah to come. Maybe we can sing that song, Amazing Grace. Have you got it ready, Sarah, at all? Or a song, or any song, I don't really mind. Okay, let's get your team up here, and let's just worship God. Church, are we going to respond to this message this morning? Are we going to be, or continue to be, a merciful church? Are you going to be a merciful person? Do you need to release your forgiveness to somebody this morning? Don't go from here without making that choice. And that decision in your heart, maybe at the very end, you need to go to somebody, come to us here at the front, and we will pray with you. If you're struggling with forgiveness, come forward, and we'll pray with you, because we want to see you released into the grace of God and put yourself in that position where the blessing and the provision and the flow of God can be poured down upon your life.